shot clock is off. And they chant, light the beam here in Sacramento. And they're going to do just that. Largest margin of victory since 2006 for Sacramento over Golden State. And Keegan Murray was brilliant here tonight with 32 points.
And the Golden State Warriors, if you didn't already know, their dynasty's over. And it came to a crashing halt last night as the Sacramento Kings knock out the Warriors in the one of two Western Conference play-in games, a 9-10 matchup in Sacramento. And you have to win that to stay alive in the play-in tournament. You lose, you're done. And the Warriors end up losing 118-94. Keegan Murray with 8 3-pointers last night, 32 points. And they did a great job defensively on Steph Curry. Klay Thompson was 0 for 10, 0 for 6 from 3. He's an unrestricted free agent. And anybody that gives him a max deal has lost their mind. He is not the player he once was. He was one of my favorite players, but, you know, Father Time's catching up to him. So I highly doubt he's with the Warriors next year, and if he is, it's going to have to be off the bench and have to take a lot less money. Kings move on to face the Pelicans in New Orleans on Thursday for the 8th spot. Pelicans lost 110-106 to L.A. in New Orleans. Down Williamson with a game-high 40, left the game with a left leg injury with 3:19 remaining. And that helped the Lakers propel themselves to victory. LeBron had 23 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. Lakers are the 7th seed. They'll face the Nuggets in the first round of the playoffs. Tonight, the Eastern Conference playing games are center stage. 7th seed Sixers host 8th seed Heat at 6 o'clock on ESPN. The winner takes the 7th spot and will take on the Knicks in the first round. Loser will play the winner of the second game tonight between the 9th seed Chicago hosting a 10th seed Atlanta at 8:30 on ESPN. Since they went to the play-in tournament, no 10th seed has won a game.
Yeah.
Let alone made it to the playoffs. So you're a 10 seed, means you're not going to get anything done, but we shall see if Atlanta could change that tonight. And then we'll get into the real playoffs here very soon, because this technically, what's interesting to me, and I don't understand how they do this statistically, because the regular season is over, but then they say, hey, Sacramento, if you win the next game against New Orleans, you make the playoffs for the second straight year. So what is this, purgatory? Because it's not.
So it seems like, right?
Like they're calling it, like what stats count here? Do these stats count towards your playoff career numbers? No, because they say you're not into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yet. But they don't count towards your regular season, do they? I wouldn't think so. So do they just go into this big, go into oblivion?
Yeah, they just float out there. For
like Keegan Murray just hit 8 threes and 32 points. Is that just not like factored into any kind of career averages?
I don't know if they'll just keep a segment of play-in stats.
And, as if we need another category.
Exactly. I don't know how that works.
I don't either. It just kind of hit.
Because, if they're not saying they're in the playoffs yet, they can't count for playoffs.
No, they can't. You call it postseason, you can't call that either, because postseason is the playoffs.
Yeah.
At least that's last I knew. All right, local sports results from yesterday.
Yeah, actually had quite a bit going on yesterday, and you can find full results for all this information at ncksports.com. Northern Plains League Golf at Tipton, as Lakeside, no surprise, took the team championship. 296 was their team score, ahead of Pike Valley in second place with 343. St. John's third, Rock Hills Pedestrian fourth. Jace Cunningham of Lakeside was the NPL champion with a 72 on the day. He was 2 strokes better than his teammates, Ian Christine and Eli Schmidt. Christine won a playoff finish second. Schmidt was third. Chris LaRocque of St. John's finished in fourth. And then Jackson Hardy of Lakeside fifth. Again, those are your top finishers at the NPL League meet yesterday in Tipton. Track and field on Tuesday, the Belleville Lions Club Invitational. Team champions, girls upper division was Beloit. Lower division for the girls, Clifton Clyde. Boys upper division, Nemaha Central ahead of Beloit in second place. And in the boys lower division, Axtell the champion. Individual gold medal winners, Beloit had a great day. Upper division girls for Beloit, 100-meter and 200-meter dash, both went to Ashlyn Knight for the Trojans. She is also part of the 4x100-meter relay team that finished in first place. Tatum Seifert set the new meet record in the shot put at 44 feet 6 inches for Beloit, and she also won the discus at 136.9, so good day for Tatum. Addison Budke of Beloit also winning the javelin gold medal, and Ashlyn Loomis winning the pole vault for Beloit. Lower division girls, Brianna Reeves of Pike Valley, 2 golds in the 800 and 1600. And Lauren Brummett from Lakeside took first place in both the javelin and high jump as well. And then in the boys upper division, Kay Grupp of Concordia won the 100 and 200. And Jeremiah Miller of Lincoln took two gold medals, the 110 meter hurdles, and also taking first place in the triple jump in the upper division boys. And 4x100 meter relay team for Concordia took first place. Eli Johnson, a Beloit gold medal in the shot put. Javelin gold went to Brooks Jones from Beloit. And Xavier Miller of Lincoln won the high jump gold medal as well. So those are your gold medal winners from Republic County, the Belleville Lions Club Invitational there on Tuesday. Sylvan Lucas competed at the Plainville Invitational, and you can find those full results as well at ncksports.com. High school baseball yesterday, a doubleheader, Sylvan Lucas Lincoln splitting with Ellis on the road. Ellis taking the first game 10-8. Sylvan Lucas Lincoln took the second game 14-2 in five innings. So, again, that was baseball. And then in softball, Ellis swept Sylvan Lucas 20-5 and 3, 13-6 in the second game. Ellis gets a sweep there. Chapman and Concordia met yesterday in the NCKL in baseball and softball as well. And on the baseball side of things, a sweep for Chapman 15-2 and 5 and 10-6 in the second game, and then Chapman winning 3-0 in the first softball game and taking the second one 8-6. So look at how things fared yesterday as far as local sports were concerned. Again, all that information, if you missed it, is posted at ncksports.com, along with all the latest news, standing schedule, scores, all that you need to know about sports, high school sports here in North Central Kansas. So check all that out at the website, again, ncksports.com. Also posted there for the second straight day, we had a North Central Activities Association boys basketball coach step down from his spot, and Bryson Flax of Southeast Saline, the day after Brett Rolfs of Ellsworth resigned Monday. Southeast Saline coach Bryson Flax stepping aside Tuesday. Coached the Trojans for six seasons, including leading them to the 3A state tournament over the past three, an overall record of 94-47 at Southeast of Saline. A great career there for Bryson. He's stepping aside due to basically family reasons, because he does have a son that's battling complications related to epilepsy. You can read the full story from Salina Post at ncksports.com. They've got quotes from Coach Flax in there as to the reason that he's stepping aside. Obviously, an important reason for him. And again, ncksports.com, you can find the story about both Coach Rolfs and Coach Flax, but Bryson Flax, the most recent to step aside.
Yeah, third place, and fourth place when nobody expected it this year. So he did a heck of a job. Had a lot of talent to work with, no doubt. But this last year, he really got him to play well towards the end of the year. And yeah, it's pretty crazy now. So we have three of the six NCAA boys basketball coaches will be different next year. Nick Yunker of Republic County stepped down. Brett Rolfs of Ellsworth stepped out on Monday. And then Bryson Flax of Southeast Saline stepped down yesterday. That's two head coaches for teams that went to state last year. They stepped down willingly. And then on the girls' side, Republic County's Allie Frederick stepped down. Yep. And Beloit's girls' head basketball coach, Sean Arima, stepped down. So think about this for a second. That's 12 head coaching jobs in the NCAA. Now, Lions will be added to the league this year, but I'm not counting that right now because they're not technically part of the league yet. That means that five of the 12 spots for head coaches in basketball, we're just talking one sport, girls and boys basketball, will be different. That's almost 50%. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to wonder, who's today?
Yeah.
Like, who's next? There are rumors out there about various coaches as, you know, hey, are they going to be back? Are they going to still coach? So forth and so on. And I will say that I don't think there will be any more. I don't think there will be any more. Could be wrong. I don't think there will be any more. But it is crazy that that three of the six boys coaches will be different next year. And one, of course,
one
is
will
an
be
old,
the same, yeah.
Alan
of
Sheets.
An old one.
Yeah, you know, this is pretty crazy. And we were talking about this, I think, last year, the year before, that Ryan Eilert is the senior sage. He's the dean of coaches in NCAA when it comes to boys basketball, mm-hmm. and he's not that old. And I better say he's not that old, because then if I say he's old, then I'm old, because I'm a year older than him. So he's the senior sage, as we say, okay? Which, when you say senior sage, with all due respect, that means you're wiser, smarter, okay? That's what I want to go with anyway, because I'm a year older. Not that I'm smarter than he is. I'm just saying that, you know, as you get older, you're supposed to all get smarter, right?
That's what you're supposed to do.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
I don't know if that happens.
I don't know if it does either.
It's what's supposed to happen.
And with more experience, you become even better at whatever you do. Well, anyway, the most experienced head boys basketball coach in NCAA, it's not even been close here the last few years, is Ryan Eilert. And he's not even 50, okay? But now he can celebrate. Not that half the league's coaches have changed hands, although that actually might not hurt. But now he doesn't have to say he's the oldest coach or the longest tenured coach in the league anymore, because Alan Sheets regains that title.
Yeah.
As nobody apparently wanted to coach Republic County, and Alan Sheets said, I guess I'll do it again. Which you see that at some schools.
Yeah.
Now, maybe Alan Sheets really wanted to do it again, and I'm not privy to any kind of information, but you know, it is interesting. We see a coach that used to do it, then he does it again, or you see this at various schools, and you're like, is it because they really want to, or is it because there's just nobody else who wants to step up and do it? And so it's like, well, I guess I'm the best option. I guess I'll do it. Who knows exactly what's going on there? But
yeah.
But 5 of the 12 basketball coaches, girls and boys, NCAA, will be different next year, and maybe more, although I highly doubt it.
Yeah, just the one rumor that we know about that could happen, but it you don't know. I don't think Brian Gormley is going anywhere.
Well, geez, so you're just going to narrow all this down here?
No, I'm not.
Why don't you just come out and say what the rumor is?
That would have been the next one that I would have thought of, like the popular ones, right, that have gone, like Rolfs and Flax and so yeah. I mean I think people around know who were
some officials may be okay.
Yeah.
Coach Gormley is a unique individual on how he presents himself on the sidelines. Okay. But I will say this, I've never had any problems with him, and I've had some nice chats with him. And so I have nothing but respect for the guy, because he does win and he has a very good record and he's been successful. Now, do I agree with, you know, how he does things from time to time? You know what? I don't agree with any coach 100% on anything.
Who does, right?
Just like people would say the same thing about, you know, what I say on the radio or what I do as a youth basketball coach or what I write or type or post or whatever. You know, nobody's going to agree with somebody 100%. It's just, you know, how you handle those things, uh-huh. You know? And so, you know, different people can do it different ways. Some coaches are very successful in screaming and yelling at the kids and get results. And some are very, you know, like a Tony Dungy that can be more quiet. They can be quieter and they can get – there's different ways to skin a cat, which I've had somebody go, who the hell came up with that analogy? I'm like, I don't know, but I heard it many years ago. There's different ways to skin a cat. And I would say there's probably one. But anyway, there might be different ways to skin a cat. But I don't think you should go skin a cat.
I don't need to do it. Yeah.
I think that sounds gross. But anyway, the point is that there's lots of different ways of being successful. And just because this person's way or just because your way is successful doesn't mean that works for somebody else. Just because that's how you deal with kids doesn't mean that's how the next person needs to deal with kids. And, you know, some people, we talked about this yesterday, you know, trying to decide when to step down as a coach and, you know, fade in the sunset or retire as a teacher or whatever it might be, is you sometimes coaches step aside and say, you know, I just think it's time for somebody different.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I'm cool. I like coaching, but you know what? It might be time for somebody else to take the reins and, you know, take on some of the stress, some of the cons that go with the pros, but maybe a younger, more vibrant person. Maybe I'm stuck in my ways. And so somebody new can take over or maybe my voice is not being heard as it once was, you know, or you're like, hey, there's nobody who can possibly coach like I can. So I'm going to stay and coach for till I die. That's the range of emotions
yeah.
coaches go through. There's some that think they got to coach till they die and have a heart attack and it's over on the sideline, and they love doing it. And there's some that think nobody else can do it, so they continue to do it even though they don't really truly love it. And then there's some, they're like, hey, I'll do my thing, and then when I'm done, I'm done. Almost 50% of the coaches in the NCAA are, and they've stepped down. None of them I'm aware of are forced out.
No. And, you know, there's a lot of that that makes sense, and some of it's like, well, it surprised us, right? Like,
right.
You know, I don't know that we expected to see Bryson Flax step
I'm not,
down,
I'm not,
it's
I'm not,
not a surprise.
I'm
right?
not. I'm a little bit more – I wasn't surprised at all with Brett Rolfs. I'm not surprised with what happened in Republic County. I definitely wasn't surprised with Beloit girls.
Yeah.
The Flax one, I had a feeling that something might be going on. late in the season, I thought, I don't, and I heard him on post-game radio with a good friend, Devin Haney, interviewing him when I was coming back from state. And I almost, it did cross my mind, like, I wonder if this is it for him. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, you know, they're still going to have pretty good talent going in next year. And I kind of forgot all about it. And then all of a sudden, that broke a day after Rolfs resigned officially. And I'm like, at first I was kind of surprised just because I was caught off guard. Then I got thinking about it. I'm like, I'm not as surprised as some people might be.
Yeah, I mean, with the things going on inside the family, I mean, sure. You always got to take that, I think, into account. And you know, if coaches are doing the right kind of things and really do believe those things that they preach about, and if right. they are a family first person, then those are the things that are obviously going to take precedence. So once you kind of know the story, it's definitely not surprising.
Now, I will say this. Okay, and I don't know the situation here, but I will say this, that you present, when you step down, you present the
absolutely.
You present the image that it was all about family.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's true.
Sure.
But that's only part of the story.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I can tell you on various situations I've been through over the years, when most of these coaches say it's family, many times they mean that's part of it.
Yeah.
But it's also... there's some that I know would have probably stuck it out had there not been more to
other
it.
Other circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, folks, all you got to do is follow why people don't want to coach and referee anymore. Okay. That should be pretty clear.
Yeah.
No doubt. So more change in the North Central Tech Association. So these coaches that are changing, okay, and there's a lot, as we just talked about, just in one league, let alone. But then a friend of ours told us about a situation at Emporia. And so the coaches we talked about were ones that voluntarily stepped down and resigned, as far as we know. Well, I can give you, and we have had coaches, listen, I'm just going to be honest. People sometimes don't like honesty, okay? Some people don't want to hear the truth. Some people want to put their head in the sand. And then sometimes people make up stuff that we've never even said. So here's the thing. I have seen multiple times. Shoot, it happened when I was in high school. So it's happened for a long time. We have seen it in our area, and we've seen it at various schools in our area. And it happens across the state. It happens across the country. It's happened since I was 18, for crying out loud, and I'm 48. So that's three decades, and I know what happened before then. But if you're a coach and you're able to step down willingly on your own, you have to feel like you went to Vegas and you cashed out and didn't lose any money. You broke even and you're happy. Okay? There are coaches, and they're very good ones, that have been forced out, ramrodded out, even when they've been very successful, because they were bullied out. That's the best way I'm going to put it. They were bullied out. All right? Whether it was powerful people that got them out, or the coach crossed the wrong person on a school board, mm-hmm. or they crossed the wrong person in administration, or a school board member's gone rogue, but yet somehow nobody stands up to that school board member or members, and so other people just let that happen. We've seen this. You've seen it. I've seen it. And there's some really good coaches that have put a lot of time in who have been very successful, and some that maybe not as successful, but probably deserve more time to figure things out. And they absolutely get the shaft, and they do good things for kids, and people make decisions and have no idea what happens at practice. They have no, they don't even talk to the kids themselves on the team. Like, what can you tell me about coach such and such? They just make up their decision, and it's usually based off of what?
Just emotion.
Emotion, yeah. But it's usually based on, I was scorned.
Yeah.
There it could involve a relative, a kid.
Yeah.
And they just, people overreact.
Yeah, exactly.
Simple as that.
It's just like your quick reaction to the emotions that you have that feel you were wronged.
Yeah. Right. And so what happens when we are overprotective parents, overprotective community members, overprotective, sometimes you'd be overprotective coach as well, you tend to what? Overreact. That's just what happens. Your emotions get the best of you. We've all been there. We've all done it. We're all guilty of it. I'm not saying anybody's better than anybody else. And we're all entitled to our emotions, but how we channel those emotions, how we use those. And once again, some people may say, you did this in the wrong way. Well, Well, I think you did this in the wrong way. I mean, let's just keep on going back and forth and keep a scoreboard. Probably not going to get you anywhere. But if we can actually listen to each other and actually explain why you feel this way or explain what you're talking about, you have a better idea of understanding where people are coming from. But making rash decisions such as, well, that's it. I have power. So I'm going to force somebody out. And this can happen in life. It can happen, you know, with a coach or anything in life too. But it's amazing to me where it's gone over the years to where it's even kids that are like stars of their team or kids that are really good or kids that start and play all the time. It used to be that coaches got shoved out because the wrong people were upset because their kid didn't play enough. Mm-hmm. Now that's not even part of the equation, hardly all.
Yeah.
It's about what? I don't get. I don't understand it. And I really would wish that those people that think they have all the answers and are smarter than everybody else would actually grab the whistle and coach their own damn selves. Because when you keep firing coaches or you keep letting coaches go or not renewing their contract, we didn't fire them, we just didn't renew their contract. Cut the BS. Okay? That person wanted the coach again. You didn't renew them. You fired them. Okay? You can call it tomato, tomato. I don't give a crap. That's what you did. You didn't allow them to come back. Thus, you cut the cord. All right. Well, then, if you're so good at what you think you are and you think you have all the answers, then why don't you just step into the coach's box and see if you can do a better job? And then I'm sure you would really appreciate when somebody wants to bully you out of that position. I'm sure you'll just take it like a man or a woman. Right. So we got a situation in Emporia. I don't know exactly what's behind the scenes, but I must say, you know this. A lot of people listen on the show on a regular basis know this. Some people probably don't like some of these people. I do. Some people might not appreciate bluntness and honesty and being straightforward. I try to be that way. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it. I try to. If I have an issue with a person, I try. Once again, I say try. I try to, you know, communicate with that person. If I have, you know, something really important to say to somebody, whether it be a life-changing moment, I try to either talk personally on the phone or to actually meet people in person. If I've got something really, really important, or if there's something that I feel that I have done wrong or I know I've done wrong, then I really try to, you know, or if I'm maybe not, I try to reach out, I guess, in regards to, I don't want to just be texting or emailing, you know? I want it to still be a little bit personable. And I think we're getting into a society today where people are scared to say what they really want to say because people tend to be very vindictive and people tend to want to turn on people and people start to say, well, you're in favor of this political issue, so that's it. I'm not doing business with you anymore. It's like, what the hell? It has nothing to do with my lawn care business.
Yeah.
I do a good job. I mean, I have the right to vote yes or no on this or whatever. But I think we're getting to a point in society where we are either scared. I don't want to get too far here, strong words here, but we're either scared, afraid, or some people would call it different terms, but we don't want to deal with it head on. That'd be the best way to put it. Mm-hmm. We want to go around the long way and people can read between the lines and know exactly the long way that you're going. You could have just gone the short way, and we know we're not stupid, I guess is what we're trying to say. We know what you're getting over here a long way around. You've been just better off just coming straight out and telling me exactly, you know, straight face to face, whatever the case may be. And so that's the thing that I always love about, you know, situations where coaches are let go. We really appreciate what they've done. We've decided to go in a new direction. Translation, you did something to piss us off and you're gone. That's the translation. You upset the wrong person and you're gone. I had a coach that I know that got fired or not renewed. And that person told me that anybody could have done what he did because of the talent that they had. And since that person's been gone, that team hasn't done anything close postseason-wise that he did. I don't know. Maybe he was a decent coach. I know that's a long shot here. Maybe. He might not have been the perfect coach. He might have had his flaws. But he was, you know, pretty decent at what he did. Well, you know, the talent just completely fell off. Oh, gee, just go ahead and fit whatever narrative you want to do. I mean, we can make excuses left and right. So the reason I bring this up is we've got coaches that are stepping down, which I think part of it is the BS that they have to go through with parents nowadays and unruly fans. And to give you an idea how unruly people can become, I had a situation, if you don't know, where a fan got in my face during a frickin' broadcast. That's where people have lost their damn minds. And that's where, you know, I keep quoting. I've been quoting this song way more than the last year than I ever did before. Billy Currington has a song, People Are Crazy. And I say it, I don't know how many times, probably about every other day. In my head, probably every day. People do something, I'm like, what the hell are they thinking? Where in the world did they get that? How in the world did they get from point A to point B and never even talk to me about it? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, what are we doing? I mean, it's just mind-boggling. And I'm getting to the point in my life where I just have to say, you know what? You just got to let it go. You just can't let it bother you so much about this or that. You got to have as thick skin as you possibly can. It's not easy. It's not easy to do. And it's definitely not easy to do if you're a coach or an official. Mm-hmm. But a coach even more so. Like officials, they got to be out there for a few hours for a game and then they disappear. Coaches have to deal with this every day with practice, off-season programs, games, and we're talking high school coaches. We're not talking varsity games. We're talking varsity, JV, freshman, C team, whatever it is. Why isn't my kid playing on JV when he's a C team? He's on C team, but he should be on JV. He's on JV, but he should be a varsity player. Well, he's a varsity player, but he shouldn't be on the bench. He should start. Well, who's he supposed to replace? Well, I don't know. Well, yeah, you do. You do, but you want the coach to make the decision for you, and you weren't at practice, so you don't know what's going on. So if you can be a coach and step down and beat people to the punch of firing you or not renewing you, you have walked away from the casino at least break even. You can say, you know what, at least I went out at my own volition. And maybe you kind of roundaboutly were pushed out by the external factors that we've talked about, but or you're tired of dealing with the school board, or you're tired of dealing with the community, or you're tired of dealing with particular parents, or a combination of all of it, plus your family life has suffered because of it, or your family members have suffered because of the role that you have. And it can be a coach, it can be a teacher, it can be a radio broadcaster, it can be an insurance person, a car dealer, a banker, a contractor, somebody that's on a county commission or city council is affected because of something they say, something they do, or whatever the case may be. So Emporia High School is looking for a new girls' head basketball coach. After 11 seasons, Carolyn Dorsey will not return as a head coach of the Lady Spartans next winter. USD 253 said in a statement yesterday morning that the district has decided to, oh, wait for it, there it is, move in a different direction. Translation, we are tired of you, we're not happy with you, you're gone, we'll get somebody else. The district thanked Dorsey for her service to USD 253. Now, why would I share this story with you? We don't cover Emporia. Because I'm going to tell you that things similar to this, and once again, I don't know specific details of why they went a different direction, but I can tell you that I've seen this numerous times, whether it's in our own backyard, over the years where I've been in various places, and it might be 2024, but some things never change. But what I find refreshing about this situation and why I'm going to share a couple of sound bites from KVOE out of Emporia is that the coach didn't do what most people would do, and that is get in line. There is a perspective, and there are people that don't And nobody likes conflict. Nobody enjoys conflict, I don't think. Maybe there are.
There are some people that do, I think.
Okay, that might be.
Unfortunately.
That could be. I think most people don't really enjoy conflict.
As a general rule, they don't.
Yeah. I think most people don't enjoy conflict. I think some can deal with conflict. I think there's a lot that avoid conflict at all cost, or they have a roundabout way to get their points across, to come across like they're not causing conflict, but yet they are, and they know it, but they want you to think you're not smart enough to understand what they're doing. And I always love that stuff. I've dealt with that in radio for many years. I'm sure coaches have as well. And I'm like, you think you're smart? Listen, I'm not a genius here, but it's kind of, all right. But what usually happens? The coaches usually take the high road. Coaches, you know, even though behind the scenes, off the record, they'll tell you this is a bunch of crap. It's baloney. I got screwed. I got the shaft. I upset the wrong person or person in power, person with money is upset with my husband because of something he did. And it has nothing to do with me coaching, but they're mad at my family. And so I'm out. But they won't say it publicly. Because they don't want to make things like worse, so they're worried about more conflict. But Carolyn Dorsey is not one of those people, and I admire her, and I've never met her. And I tend to be one of those people who's a little bit more blunt and straightforward, and, you know, if you don't like it, you don't have to hang out with me. And that's fine. I'm comfortable in my own skin for the most part. That's why I love Charles Barkley being blunt and saying things. You know, there's things I don't agree with, but I appreciate him being straightforward. I think he is what he is. He's not fake. I've met a lot of people that are fake or frauds. And Charles Barkley to me is not a fake or a fraud. He's the first person I think of that is pretty outspoken, that is pretty blunt. And you might not like it. It may hurt. The truth may hurt you, but he'll shoot you straight. So let me give you a little bit more. So Carolyn Dorsey has coached 11 seasons at a 5A school in Poya High. So and they're moving in a different direction. So clearly she sucks as a coach, right?
Yeah, obviously.
Clearly. They probably had a horrible year. The kids aren't responding to her. It's just time for her to step down, right? Wrong. This past season, Dorsey led the Emporia Lady Spartans to their first Centennial League championship in 27 years. She led them to a school record 22 victories, a fourth place finish at the Class 5A state tournament, the first state placing for the Lady Spartans in 15 years. She guided the Spartans to state appearances in 2015, 22, and 23. So three of her 11 seasons, she took her team to state. That's not bad. She was just named the Centennial League Coach of the Year this past season, and she's won it three times in 11 years. But clearly, she sucks as a coach. Dorsey finished her head coaching career with a record of 153-85. Now, you can have a great record, you can do a lot of good things, but you can still get fired if you do the wrong things. Okay? I understand that. You can be an amazing coach, but you went too far. And maybe you struck a player or you did something, you know, vulgar or who knows what happened. All right. You had a relationship with an underage child, a student. Well, yeah, that can get you fired if you're even the perfect coach. I don't know what happened here, but I want to play these cuts because I find it super, super, super refreshing that this coach came out firing. This is her making it clear. This wasn't some amicable decision, and they agreed to mutually part ways.
It was made, the decision was made for me, and that is reality. You know, I think it's tough to have one of the most successful programs in Emporia High history or winning seasons, and this is the outcome. And to be said, if that's how I get treated in this district, then I don't want to work here anyway.
Those are strong words. And you know what? I think a lot of coaches would say the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But they just don't have the guts to say it, or they're scared to say it, or they're worried about more ramifications, which, you know, if you have family and kids, maybe you think there's more ramifications, which means you're living your life in fear. And some people could say you're gutless, you're spineless, you're a pushover, you got in line. See, that's the thing I love about Charles Barkley. he isn't worried about following people and worried about, oh my gosh, somebody's upset with me, so I better immediately get on their good side. No, he's like, I stand by what I say. You don't like it, that's your problem, not mine. If I'm hitting you with facts and this, or you want to jump to conclusions, that's your prerogative. But you know what? I said it. I stand behind it. How many times do you have people that do kind of go out there, say something, do something, and then all of a sudden there's a term for it. But all of a sudden the village people are going to burn you at the stake if you don't retract what you said. Because that bothered a whole bunch of people. It's like, but what if it were true? Or what if that's not at all what was being said, but you took it that way? You know, those type of things. And so you get to the point where some people, I know this has happened. People get pressured into not being forthright and honest and upfront. There are people that do put themselves out there, then are basically told to get back in line. You shouldn't have done that. It's like, who the hell made you God and jury? All right? And so I'm sure this is a situation right now with the school board and USD 253 in Emporia. What the heck are you doing? What are you doing, coach? What are you doing? You shouldn't have said those things. Well, you're the one that fired her. I wish you really wouldn't have said that. Then there'll be the guilt trip, right? Oh, I really wish you wouldn't have said that. You just made things tougher for everybody. She said what she felt. She was, as she said, scorned. She says it's frustrating and bad timing in regards to her not being back as the girls' head coach.
There's probably some scorned relationships on both sides, but I was there for the kids. And ultimately, I did everything for those girls, and I wouldn't change a decision. Had I kept my mouth shut, had I behaved better, I probably would be still to coach it. You know, but that's not me. My girls deserved better. My son deserves better. All the kids that I'm coaching right now deserved better. And that's what I'll fight for. And I think, consequently, that's probably why we parted ways. But that being said, and this is not a place that I need to be in. And I've had the opportunity to leave numerous times throughout the last decade. But I gave my passion here because this is where I grew up, and my family's here. You know, that being said, I've got some kids. I got some boys coming up that I'm pretty passionate about. So you'll see me again at some point in time, just not wearing the red and black and Emporia High girls bench. But I would like to make it clear that that was not my decision.
Like I said, I wish all coaches that are in the position she was would all do that. And I guarantee there are people listening right now going, oh, that just makes the situation worse. So you're supposed to suppress. Yeah, right. Exactly. That's the part that people don't get. Well, you're what, making it worse for you? You were part of the issue. And so now, you know what? Let's go ahead and put it in rewind. Maybe you shouldn't have let her go in the first place. And maybe you wouldn't deal with any of this. I mean, it's called consequences. Okay. Like, I do find it funny how I know of a person that did this once, and this is an example as well. And it's people like this that really piss me off. And I'm just being frank. So there's a situation with a friend of mine. He does a lot of good things in the community, and he does a lot of things for youth, sports, and so forth and so on. Okay, and so anyway, he has to oversee a lot of different things. And there was something about some kind of incident, a youth sports situation, right? And it was, you know, a couple coaches or a coach getting maybe out of line a little bit. And then there was kind of some yelling back and forth between, you know, a couple of people. It never turned into anything horrible. And so anyway, there was some reference to that was posted on social media. And everything was pretty like, hey, things were handled fairly well, you know, appreciate what you do, okay? So my friend felt pretty cool with that. And then there was a mom, I want to say so badly who it is, but there was a mom that really didn't have a dog in the fight here, but decided that she wanted to say what she wanted to say, which is perfectly fine. Listen, It's social media. It's a free platform. You can say whatever the hell you want to say, and there could be consequences to what you say, but that's up to you. And same thing with radio, except that, you know, Facebook, you can go back and reread everything over and over, whereas, and you can still confuse your eyes and read things you want to read, just like you don't hear what maybe this and that. Same thing sometimes when you read something, you don't really take in what you're actually reading because you've already jumped to something that you believe. All right. And so this mom, who really didn't need to make a comment about it, but she did, so that's fine. And she said some things basically that could have been handled better, kind of took a shot at my friend. And so he's one of those people, kind of like me, that's probably why he's one of my friends, that was like, I'm not going to take that lying down. You're kind of attacking my character. So he went ahead and responded to it. And her counter response was, I don't think this is the place to talk about this. Maybe you should message me or call me. What the bleep is wrong with you? That's how I feel about this situation.
I actually know exactly what you're talking about.
I know
about
you do.
Too.
So this is what, this is exactly kind of like the same type of thing. So you had the gumption to get rid of somebody, but now you need to, but you're telling the person you got rid of, they need to be quiet. Don't rock the boat.
Yeah.
But you rocked the boat first.
Yeah.
Well, this is not the place on Facebook to talk about this. You're the one that out of the blue criticized and everybody else was complimentary. You're the comment that stood out. How about you? And trust me, she has that guy's number. Could easily texted, emailed directly, called him. And what did she do? She put it on Facebook. And then somebody, my friend, responds to it. And then she becomes, oh, I'm an angel. I cannot be questioned, even though I did that to you. How dare you put that on social media? Did you read where you posted your comment? Is on the same dang thing. And I go back to, people are crazy. All right? That goes back to Billy Currington. So, Carolyn Dorsey is just one of many coaches that have been shoved out, forced out, guilted out. Once again, maybe there is a terrific, spot-on reason why she's no longer the coach there. Okay? I don't have all the details. I said that from the very beginning before talking about this story. But the reason that I present it, and for you to hear her comments, is that many coaches get peer pressured or feel guilty by actually saying how they feel. And I think that's ridiculous. Everybody has a right to express how they feel. Now, you may not agree with how they feel, okay? But as long as it's not, like, personal, I guess, I think, you know, it's not that big a deal. But what's interesting is how people do take things personally. And we're all guilty of it. I'm not excluded at all. We all tend to get a little too personal on certain things that really aren't personal at all. They're just something that we disagree on. And then we overreact. And then sometimes we ruin relationships or we ruin friendships or we... And you could argue, well, see, if you kept your mouth shut. Well, let me tell you something. You can keep your mouth shut for a long time. At some point, something's going to explode. At some point, you're going to bottle it all up and you're going to let it out. And so... listening to the comments from this Emporia girls head basketball coach reminds me of a lot of conversations I've had with coaches that have been forced out over the 30 years I've been in this business that basically have told me very similar things, but just didn't quite have the gumption to say it out loud publicly. And Coach Dorsey did. And I would love to meet this lady. And I would like want to just give her a standing ovation. Now, I'll look stupid if it was something horrible she did.
Yeah.
Whatever else. But as of now, based on these comments and so forth and so on, and all of her success that she's had, like I said, based on the little bit that I have, I find it super, super refreshing. I found it uplifting that she's not afraid to speak her mind.
Yeah.
And I think we have gotten into a position where there are those that think they can express whatever they want to express, but nobody else can. But you can't, because you went too far. Even though you went for it too far, no, the other person went too far. Even though, no. If you're going to throw it out there, you got to be ready for the return fire.
Yeah,
you got to be ready for the return fire. And so she did that, and it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, I, like you said, for 30 years, for me, for 21 years, it's interesting to be on this side of it, you know, because there was somebody on our side of it doing this interview, right, in Emporia. So on our side of it, it's very interesting to be on this side and hear those comments, because most of the time, I'm not going to say always, but most of the time, I can't even get the person on the phone to talk. Like, it's not,
right.
Whether they're going to say anything good or bad or whatever they're going to say, they're like, I'm not going to comment at this time. I need to let it cool down a little bit. And most people are like that with me.
And
that's been the majority
sense.
Of the situations that I've seen like this have been like, I'd rather not comment publicly on it right now. Give me a couple days to think about it. And they still might not talk to you a couple days down the road.
Sure.
But if they do, they've calmed down and they're not quite saying things the way that she did, right?
Right.
And so you have different things coming in. I can think of one. This is probably late 2000s, maybe early 2010s, that actually did talk with me, but kept the company line, right? Like, didn't really ruffle the feathers. Kind of said a little bit of peace maybe about what they thought, but otherwise kept it, you know, pretty nice. But I can't think of a lot of them that have actually even talked to me about it. There's some of them that I know are not going to talk to me about it, but you reach out and check anyway, right? And one of the things that, as I'm listening to her, I think that might be a little bit easier to talk about it, is if you're deeply rooted in it and you've been there for that long, you're an Emporia person in her case.
Yeah.
She went to school there, whatever. She knows the red and black, and people know who she is, right? She's not going to back off because people already know who she is.
Right.
Now, if you're somebody that's only been in a city or town for 3-4 years and you really want to say what you want to say, but it's like, man, I probably better not, and then you don't, and then you move on to just a different spot and just move on with your life, you know, so a lot of that would happen too. But I would think it would be easier for me to go ahead and do that if I was rooted in that place and people just knew who I was, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm unapologetically me. I'm not going to try to be somebody I'm not.
Especially if you believe you have, you know, quite a bit of support.
Yeah.
Helps too.
And also, if you feel like you've been wronged by some people that you thought were on your side for this long,
right,
and then all of a sudden they're not, it's a lot easier. And then it's a lot easier to not care about what it looks like, because the only person that's being hurt here is the school,
right,
that got rid of me. Like, my reputation is not being hurt. I've been doing this for 11 years. I'm unapologetically me. People know who I am, you know, and the school is the reputation that gets hurt. And I've seen that whether coaches talk or not, the reputation of the school has been hurt more often than not in these kind of situations.
Mm-hmm.
And that person that might have been let go or sent somewhere else thrives in another spot.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that happen multiple times,
right,
where they, you know, hey, maybe it's a better opportunity for you, and then they go do something different and it works out.
Sometimes a blessing in disguise, and they don't realize what they had till they forced it out.
Yeah. And so,
and we've definitely seen that.
Yeah. And so, you know, in all different areas we've seen that. So it's like, you know, it's nice of you to be like, oh, I really wish you wouldn't have said it like that or done this. Well, I really wish you wouldn't have like stabbed me in the back and crossed me, right? Like, we all wish that things would have went different here, but that's not my problem anymore.
That's
and
exactly
so I'm
going
to say what I want to say.
That's right.
And if people are going to dock me of getting maybe another opportunity down the road because I said what I said and I felt like I was wrong, then I also don't want to be with them either, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can say the same thing that she said about this. Like, if this is the way they feel, I don't want to be here.
Right.
If somebody's going to dock me and not give me an opportunity because of how I said things as I exited a position that I was not wanted in, then that's not a place I want to probably be either, because they don't even know the situation probably And so it is fun to hear somebody actually talk, because in this profession, we rarely get people that actually talk after those things happen.
And that's why it is so refreshing.
Yeah.
I've got a note that Poirier also parted ways with their football coach a couple of years ago, partway through the season.
Mm-hmm.
So that make, and that's an odd situation that you don't see that very often. So, you know, is there a leadership issue at Emporia? Once again, don't know. Maybe it's two isolated incidents, so forth and so on. But I find it very refreshing, because I on this show all these years, and you can like the show. You know, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, you must like it somehow, some way. Or there must be nothing else for you to listen to, and so we're your option. That's fine, too. We'll take whatever we can get. But one thing that I've done on this show, and we've done on this show, I say I, but we've done it as well, is we've stood up for people on this show that a lot of other radio stations and don't have the kahunas to do. And I know we have.
Yeah.
And we know when something has been – we know when there's a wrong, okay? We know situations where people that we know, whether it be in coaching or other situations, that have been wronged. Well, I mean, we've stood up for coaches that have been wronged. We have stood up for officials that have been vilified. We've supported officials many times. And yeah, we've been critical of officials too, not the high school ones we haven't been critical of. You're paid, college and pro. We've talked about that a little bit. But I think we still pull back a little bit on that because we know that they are human. But we're not afraid to support the officials or be in the minority and voice our opinion. And yeah, if we make you feel a little bit bad because you're the one screaming at an official, then that's your problem, not mine. Because
yeah.
you know that it's true. You know that you're one of those people. You're part of the problem. You know, and so, you know, we've stood up for coaches. We've stood up for officials. We have stood up for athletes. We just had a discussion recently. I stood up for my son. I don't regret any of that. And he happened to be an athlete, and he didn't get something that he deserved. And you know what? That's part of life. And you just move on. You can't change it. Doesn't mean you can't be upset about it. Doesn't mean you can't talk about it. Doesn't mean you can't voice your opinion about it. And we've done that for other athletes. I brought up the one from Republic County. There's a track record of athletes that we or student athletes or students that we have noted that they've been excluded or they were not included or they should have been. And it's not, it's got nothing to do with other people. It's about that coach shouldn't have been fired. Oh, well, that's a shot at the school. No, it's not. It's just that coach did a great job. We're not yelling. We're at that institution. We're just saying, hey, that coach probably should still be there. Okay? And here's what usually happens. Most people in these communities would agree with you, but they're scared to say anything because of what we just talked about earlier. So you let the loud minority take over. You let the loud minority take over. It happens in politics. It happens with various political issues, whether it's locally, regionally, across the state, or across the country. And so when you talk about people that have been wronged, it is amazing how people can take it. And it's like, no, it's pretty simple. Like, we're not ripping anybody in particular. We're not talking about there's horrible people that cause these grave injustices. What we're saying is, here is the facts. That person should have been getting that honor. That person should have got that honor. That person should have been given the benefit of the doubt. That person should still be the coach there. You know, we are privy to lots of information that the public maybe isn't.
Yeah.
So we can confidently come on the airwaves and say, yeah, that was probably the wrong decision there. But in the end, maybe it becomes a blessing in disguise. So whether or not you agree with everything that we say on the show, whether or not you I know there's many people that probably agree with things we say and disagree. And if you agreed with everything...
Human discourse.
Right. If you agreed with every single thing we said, then there'd be no point to listen to the show. Because we're just
and
all...
And if we just said, you know, said the same things as each other all the time, it'd be like, what are we providing here?
Yeah, there's times Dustin and I have disagreed or argued or debated over things, and we have opinions and so forth. We try to back them up with facts, and then it becomes a debate tournament. And that's okay. That's okay. But I do believe that we have a situation, and I've seen it locally, I've seen it, you know, nationally, of course, and that is that apparently some people think that the rules are one-sided. But what's funny to me is the rules are the rules of their own. they got your unwritten rules of baseball, right? Like, well, you can't do that. Why can't I bunt when it's a no-hit? You can't bunt when a guy's a no-hitter. I can't hit the damn guy, so I'm bunting. It's a compliment. Well, you can't do that. Well, tell me where in the hell it says in the book, I can't bunt when a guy has a no-hitter. Oh, that's right. You can't. I've had people tell me, well, that's not the right way to go about it. What are you, my mother? Like, well, guess what? I don't agree with everything you do, but I don't go tell you that I don't agree. So it's like, oh, I'm supposed to follow some kind of rule or rules that don't even exist because they're your own personal rules between your ears? I don't know your rules. And if I violated your rules, well, too damn bad, you know? I'm sure you violated my so-called rules, but I'm like, you know. It is just wild. And another thing that is really irritating to me, when it comes to just life in general, is how we all think that we can read each other's minds. Last I knew, nobody can read anybody's minds. And I also know that when people say what they say, only they know really what they meant, for the most part. Okay? And so for Carolyn Dorsey to come out and say these things, she's a strong woman. There's no doubt about that. And because she's a strong woman, I would bet that's a big reason why her team has been pretty successful. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing her girls on her team are pretty strong girls or young women. And so, like I said, I really appreciate people that are willing to speak up when something is wrong. I appreciate people that are willing to deal with something head on instead of pussyfooting around it, okay? Or beating around the bush. But there are some people that just don't like that. There are people that like you to beat around the bush, or they don't like straight up, wow, I wouldn't have presented that way, but at the end of the day, you know what? I think they were right, but they didn't present the right way. Who cares? We agree, right? If we agree, why does it matter on how we said it? If we agree on the basis of the whole thing, then why can't it just be as simple as that? So we complicate things. We make things bigger than they are. And it sounds like, listening to her comments, that she spoke up for what she believed was right. She said, I could have been quiet or I could have shut up, something like that. But sometimes you need people to be... Listen, if everybody was a follower, we're screwed. We need leaders. We need people to not be afraid of every little thing everybody else thinks of them. We need people that aren't worried about being just a people pleaser. We need people that will simply stand up for what is right or point out what is wrong. Now, it could be a small level thing that really doesn't mean a lot in the big scheme of things. It could be something huge. You know, like whistleblowers. Well, the whole Boeing thing right now. All right. Somebody's speaking up, a whistleblower, about a door that flew off a plane, about the safety situation with Boeing putting together their planes. Somebody that blows a whistle towards a politician, whether it's a current president, former president, a powerful person, a celebrity, whoever it may be, It takes great courage and guts to stand up for what is right. And sometimes you will be muzzled. You will be threatened. You will be, who knows what else is going to happen to you. But if we didn't have anybody that stood up for what was right, then we're just letting all the malcontents run things. We're letting everybody else control things. And what is really interesting to me is when people simply ask questions. And I've seen this numerous times. And it really upsets me. When people ask simple questions and how crazy people can become because you asked a simple question.
Mm-hmm.
And you immediately go, I poked the bear, but it was just a sensible, reasonable question. I didn't mean anything by it. And it's like, whoa, is there more here that I don't know about? Because when you react defensively immediately, you know what that means? It means there's something there.
Yeah.
And so when you react like that, you're actually tipping people off to where, really, if you wanted to, you should investigate further as to, I just asked a simple question, or I just threw out a possibility. And for you to immediately jump all over me for that, it's like, why did that bother you so much? That's something I ask a whole bunch of people. It's a regular type of question. And it's almost like, well, you're insinuating that person's no good at what they're doing. No, I'm just asking, is there a better way? You know, there are people, I've been on boards, I've been on chamber boards, I've been on boards, I've been on, you know, not city council or county commissioners, but I've been on various boards in my life. And just because that's the way it worked for such and such doesn't mean that it can't be done a different way, as we talked about earlier as a coach. Well, how dare you question this person? It's been working. Yeah, but I think I have a more efficient way to help take it to another level. Screw you. You haven't been here all these years. What do you know? Wait a minute. You begged me to be on the board. You just want me to be a lemming and just stare at the wall and agree with everything? I thought you wanted input. Yeah, we want your input only if we agree with it. Why the hell am I here?
Yeah.
You want me to be what? You want me to be a follower. And you want me to just get in line. And there are many people that are willing to do it. And sometimes I think they've been trained and conditioned to automatically react and come to the defense of something or someone and don't even realize they're doing it. That's the crazy part.
Yeah.
They don't even realize they're doing it because they've done it so many times. And they don't actually stop and think, whoa, you know what? That's a good point. It's like you barely get out of your mouth. Oh, no, no, no. That cannot be. There's no, no, no. You didn't even let me finish my sentence. And that's not good. You got to have dialogue. You've got to, you know, try to be as respectful as you can of people's thoughts, opinions, as crazy as they may be. Okay, but it is interesting to me when people do speak up, how people take shots of people that speak up, yet they were the chicken bleeps that don't have any stones that would not speak up. So because you don't have the stones to do it, you're going to cast stones at me or other people that do. That's convenient. It's extremely convenient. It's a blessed world. And a bubble type of mentality is what that is. And we, my opinion, we need more people like Carolyn Dorsey to speak up on things like this. We need more people like Charles Barkley to speak up on things. We need more people to blow a whistle when things are wrong. Now, some big time corporations and so much money and power, sometimes people speak up and they get offed.
Yeah, it's a deeper... The higher up you go here, it's a deeper consequence for
yeah.
speaking up, right?
Which is
saying the thing. If anybody's watched House of Cards on Netflix, you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And people think House of Cards isn't real.
Oh, I think there's reality
sure
to it.
Pretty sure most of it is, to be honest with you. They might have extended it a little bit further than what I would have,
right.
and then what actually happens, but who knows. But, yeah, there's deeper consequences if the higher you go, if you do speak up and if you say things, and you know those consequences, it's for the most part. It's mm-hmm. just whether you want to deal with them and whether you think that's the right thing to do. And I don't know if giving up my life is the right thing to do, to say something to make sure right. something else doesn't happen. But, you know, some people have made that decision, I'll guarantee you, that they think it is better this way. And if I have to sacrifice whatever I have to sacrifice, so be it. And some people have that mentality, no matter what level that mm-hmm. is, of, you know, I'm not going to let this happen to somebody else. People need to know why I'm in this situation, why this happened to me. And, you know, there could be something worse happened to me because of it. But I'm going to feel good and I'm going to sleep well at night because I said my piece and what's actually going on here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it is interesting how selfish we are. Well, I'm really, you know, there's a consequence there. I'm really risking this or that. Yet we have 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old young men and women that ultimately go and sacrifice their lives for the freedom of this country or defend our country. But we're too good to stand up for somebody that got wronged in a small situation and then get vilified for it. See, that's bullying. I hate to break it yeah. to people. You know, I hear all this, there's this bullying in the school, and I don't want to downplay bullying, okay? In fact, I'm actually saying the opposite. We could go forever with this, but but I can tell you, I know various people that speak about bullying that are bullies themselves as adults. It's a different way.
Yeah.
There's a different way of bullying.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? And, you know, there's the passive-aggressive make you feel guilty. It's a form of bullying.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not violent and physical. You know, you don't take somebody's lunch and shove it in their face and things like that. But there's different versions of pressure, bullying, whatever you want to call it. And we're probably all guilty of it some way or somehow, I would imagine. But, yes, there are consequences to anything that you do. I mean, there is. And I'm sure Carolyn Dorsey, Coach Emporia, or other coaches that have spoken out, there may be consequences for being blunt and honest and saying those things. You know, maybe she won't coach again because of what she said publicly. I don't know. But I would hope that she is comfortable with that. I would hope before she said that, she was like, you know, maybe there's a chance I won't coach again because I'm being outspoken about this. I would say the chance, unless she did something horribly, horribly unbelievable, bad, I would say that it sounds like she and the school board didn't agree on some things. She spoke up about something which may have applied to some other family members. She stood up for her family or she stood up for people she knew. She stood up for what she believed in. And I admire people like that. She stood up for what she believed in. Now, we may find out later on that maybe she did something, you know, horribly wrong or something. I don't know. But with the success she's had, she can coach somewhere else. There's no shortage of coaching opportunities. If she wants to coach somewhere else and move her kids to another school, she could. Or maybe she will, you know, stay there and might be uncomfortable for a few people. I would hope, too, that she talked with her. I would hope she did, but maybe she didn't. Because those are things you got to think about. Because I think a lot of times people, why they don't speak up is they're worried about how it'll affect their family, right? How it affect my wife or my husband or my kids and so forth. Like, they didn't ask for this. But then you're living in fear again. I don't think living in fear is really a great way to live your life, but that's just me.
No.
Oh, my God, I'm not going to get in a car. I might have a wreck. Oh, I don't know what the hell you're going to do then. You're riding a bike? Oh, I could get hit by a car or riding a bike. Oh, I'm going to walk. When you get hit when you're walking, you can die. You're going to die. You're going to die, man. It's going to happen. Can you lower your risk in some situations? Yeah. Skydiving without a parachute, you know, probably a bigger chance you're not going to make.
Yeah.
But I would think that her kids and her family were well aware of what's going on. And they're not surprised she spoke up and said what she said. And in fact, I'd be willing to bet that they were like, go for it, Mom.
Yeah.
Go for it, Mom. We agree with you. We support you. She has a tight-knit family. She's got that support. And I don't think she would probably say those things if she didn't have that. Because she seems like a smart person. Once again, never met her. Once again, perhaps there's more to it than I know. But I find it refreshing. that she spoke up. The WNBA draft ratings are through the roof. A record 2.45 million viewers turned into the 2024 WNBA draft on ESPN to witness the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark with the first overall pick on Monday, demolishing the previous record. Nearly five times the amount of people watched this year than last year, and it's up 307% versus the previous record in 2004 when Dana Taurasi was one of the top picks. 601,000 viewers was the previous record. 2.45 million was this year's. So women's basketball doing just fine. Kansas freshman guard Johnny Furphy announced yesterday he is declaring for the NBA draft, but retaining his collegiate eligibility in the process. By declaring for the draft, Furphy has a chance to have his professional prospects evaluated and will have until May 29th to withdraw his name or stay in the draft pool. Furphy averaged 9 points, 5 rebounds during his first season at Kansas as he was named to the all-freshman team in the Big 12. In 30 seconds, we'll have K-State in focus, and then we'll tell you about Travis Kelce's new job. That's right. He has a new job.
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Did you know that we sell tires? We also perform alignments and all the other services that go along with them. We handle all the top brands. Extras like road hazard warranty, complimentary tire rotations, and complimentary tire repairs are available for purchase on most tires. Right now, we are offering $80 off when you buy a set of four. Call or stop by Kiever Brothers Automotive for fast, friendly tire services today. Find us just south of the courthouse in Beloit or on the web at KieverBrothers.com.
It's time for K-State in Focus, our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. All right, K-State in focus. K-State baseball team, boy, they're off to a pretty good start in conference play, and they've fallen off, that's for sure. They're now 7-8. They've started 6-1 in conference play, lost 7 of the last 8 conference games. They're 7-8, overall 21-14. They've lost 4 in a row. They got swept in Norman against the Sooners. After last year, they swept the Sooners. I was there for that. They got beat 12-5, 11-4, and 8-7. They lost to UConn 4-0 yesterday. There in Storrs, Connecticut. They'll be taking on Northeastern coming up this afternoon at 1 o'clock, and then they'll take on number 15 Oklahoma State on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So the schedule doesn't get any easier for the K-State baseball team, who's now 21-14, and they are 7-8 in conference play. Our focus on K-State athletics brought to you, as always, by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Of course, K-State at landing C.J. Jones, a transfer guard from, Illinois, Chicago?
Yep.
Averaging 11 points a game, so he will join Doug McDaniel, a transfer guard, leading scorer from Michigan, as two new guys that are on the team for K-State men's basketball. So there's your look at K-State in focus. Let's see here. I did get a text. Let me check this here. So there's a text. If you are already part of the establishment, you're in like Flynn. If you question anything and you're from outside the establishment, you are an outcast.
Yeah.
I totally understand that. I truly do. There is a double standard, no doubt. In baseball, Tuesday night's game between the Royals and White Sox rained out, postponed to today in a straight doubleheader. In Chicago, game one will take place 1:10 this afternoon. Game two, 30-45 minutes later. Royals 11-6, 5-0 against the White Sox. White Sox are 2-14 this year. One-time Royals and Cardinals manager Whitey Herzog passed away yesterday at the age of 92. Whitey managed the Royals from 1975 to 1979, led them to 3 division titles, had the heartache of losing to the Yankees over and over. And then he moved on to the Cardinals from 1980 to 1990, which is interesting as the Royals went to the World Series in 1980. Uh-huh. And without Whitey, they would have never been in position to get to the World Series, even though he wasn't the manager that year as Jim Fry. Whitey led St. Louis to World Series championship in 1982. They also made the World Series in 1985 when they lost the Royals in 7 games, and we know that's all because of Don Dingacher. And 1987, they lost to the Twins. In 18 total seasons as a manager, Whitey Herzog compiled 1,281 wins, 1,125 losses. He was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in 2020. He was known for Whitey Ball, which was steal a lot of bases, play a lot of defense, and that was fun to watch. I remember watching it, and I was a Royals fan, but I appreciated, I love Vince Coleman. I love Willie McGee. Lonnie Smith, those guys all could steal 100 bases in a season. It was fun to watch. They would bunt. They had Ozzie Smith, too. Great defender, the Wizard of Oz at short, who, you know, they didn't have, like, tons of power hitters. Like, Jack Clark was, like, the best power hitter that they had that I remember. You know, Keith Hernandez, he was on that team. Bruce Sutter, the guy, he was their stopper, their closer. They had some amazing players. Tommy Herr was a really good second baseman. I could go on and on. And they were fun to watch, and they had to be tough to deal with. And that was back in the day where you had the spacious stadium, so you had more room to hit the ball and run. It was on turf, so if you hit the ball, it really rolled. It could roll all the way to the fence. You know, the Royals play a lot of speed ball, you know, after Whitey, but they did it when Whitey was there. The Royals led the league in stolen bases. And then Whitey Herzog just took it another step with the St. Louis Cardinals. I've really seen and I've really enjoyed some of the tributes to Whitey Herzog. And you may say, well, he's a Cardinal, so why do you do this? You're a Royals fan. Well, he did manage the Royals for 5 years, so he was a Royal and a Cardinal.
Yeah.
And the fun part that I've seen on these tributes to Whitey Herzog are the old beer commercials he was a part of. Have you seen some of these? He was a natural.
Uh-huh.
The whole thing with signs with Jack Buck, Joe Buck's dad. Jack Buck was a legend himself mm-hmm. as a broadcaster. I mean, it's just absolutely fantastic how they put these commercials together. And Whitey Herzog was just a natural in how he delivered his lines. He is a very interesting guy. There is a story I saw yesterday where Pete Rose was being, you know, investigated for gambling on sports and whatever. And so Pete Rose and Whitey Herzog went to exchange managerial cards at home plate mm-hmm. while this was being discussed or investigated or whatever. Pete Rose is still manager of the Reds. And so Pete Rose went up and they had pleasantries, and Pete goes, "Oh, Whitey, I don't know, man. I said, I feel pretty good about our chances today." He goes, "We've got such and such on the mound," because there's some smack talk that happens between managers and coaches, especially at the professional level. And sometimes they're all part of a fraternity, so they can joke with each other. And Whitey's response was, "You want to bet?"
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good. That was pretty good. And there's a few other great stories that I've seen. Vin Scully shared a story, and I've retweeted it. If you want to follow me on Twitter, NCKS Radio Guy 10, where in 1956, I believe it was, I don't know exactly the year. And Vin Scully, by the way, was the greatest storyteller of all time when it comes to sports. And it seems like every time he told a story, the guy at the plate fouled off 8 pitches so he could complete the story. It's almost like that was set up and rigged. So he's telling the story, and I was watching it today on Twitter, and it's really good stuff, about how Whitey Herzog was... he was on a team back in the 50s, whatever, and Satchel Paige was picked up at the age of 50, kind of a promotional stunt or whatever, to be on a team, try to help sell tickets, whatever. So anyway, Whitey Herzog was warming up, and he was in the outfield for some reason warming up, and he saw this hole in a fence. And he looked up, and it was a promotion. It says, if you can hit a ball through this hole in a fence, you win $10,000. And Whitey's like, So he had some baseballs, and so he tried to throw baseballs through that hole in the fence, and Whitey couldn't do it. So he went to the dugout, and he saw Satchel Paige. Satchel Paige, one of the greatest pitchers ever to live. And Satchel Paige was still a pretty decent pitcher, even at the age of 50. And Whitey Herzog was like, "Satch, they got this hole in this fence out here." Because you'll never believe it. He's like, I bet you a bottle of bourbon, you can't throw a baseball through that hole in the fence." Satchel Paige is like, well, let's go take a look. So the next day, Whitey Herzog measures off 60 feet, 6 inches from the hole in the fence. And Satchel Paige is like, "Now, will the ball fit through the hole?" And Whitey Herzog said, "Yes." Satchel Paige is like, "Good enough." He throws the first one. It, like, rims around somehow and spits out. Doesn't go through. And Satchel Paige goes, you're sure there's room for a baseball to go through that hole in the fence?" Whitey goes, "Yeah." Next pitch, Satchel throws it straight through the hole in the fence. And Whitey Herzog had to pay a bottle of bourbon to Satchel Paige. Vin Scully shared that story way better than I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Over 3 minutes. He explained the story as he only could do during a Dodger broadcast. And Adrian Gonzalez was at the plate, fouled off 8 pitches so he could complete the whole story. Whitey Herzog was a character, from what I understand, and players loved playing for him. And I think that's one thing that you find out. You know, we're talking, you know, kind of tie this all together with coaches from earlier. is whether it's a high school coach, a youth coach, a college coach, a pro coach, you know, success doesn't happen by accident.
No.
And then I don't, yeah, there might be certain situations where you have amazing talent and you can still be really good, but I don't think you reach your ultimate goals unless you have a really good coach. And I've said this before, coaches, the teams take on the mentalities of their coaches, but also the best coaches are ones that are the most respected. They might not be the most loved, but they are the most respected. And if you have the respect of your team that you're coaching in whatever sport it is, then you have a chance to be way more successful in what you want to accomplish.
Yeah.
Does talent help? Yes, of course it helps. And so coaches can – what's interesting is there have been lots of amazing coaches. And you hear these amazing stories once they pass away or they retire or step away or, you know, who knows, even fired unceremoniously. You hear these stories like, man, he was like a father to me, or he was like a mom to me, or she was like a mom to me, or she really took me under her wings, or he really took me under his wings, or, you know what, I didn't really fully appreciate what he was teaching me until I was done years later. Or that was so much fun playing for him, or I really enjoyed him, or he always shot me straight, or he was honest with me, and sometimes brutally honest, and I appreciated that. You hear these stories, and granted, there's always naysayers, and there's probably kids with every coach, like, oh, I didn't like that coach, he didn't play me, and so that's your problem, not really the coach's problem, because you thought you were entitled, or your parents thought you were entitled. But the stories, you know, Terry Pendleton came out and said, and other people yesterday, Whitey Herzog was just a regular dude that shot you straight. He was a baseball man. He would joke with you. He treated you with respect. He treated you like just anybody else. He had a sense of humor, but he also was demanding. And that sounds like really, honestly, the traits of most great coaches, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so I go back to shooting people straight. Okay? Those coaches that shoot straight, it might not make the kid happy when Johnny goes home and says, "Coach told me that I'm not good enough to play on varsity." How dare he? Well, Mom, actually, I'm not good enough to play varsity. We got a really good team. I think Coach is right. I need to put in some more work. And he told me if I keep working at my game, I'm improving, that maybe next year I could be on varsity. That's it. I'm going to go talk to the school board right now. I'm going to get him fired because what is he talking about? My kid's better than that kid. No, even though it puts coaches maybe in a tough spot by just being honest and being straight shooters and being blunt, I hope there's still many kids out there, or young men and women, that take to that type of coaching, that understand and can realize and be objective enough and maybe block out some of what their family members may be saying, that, you know what, you aren't the greatest thing since sliced bread. And maybe you're not playing not because the coach doesn't like you. Maybe you're not playing because of politics. Maybe you're not playing because you're just not quite there yet. And instead of complaining about it, you could work harder and then you could maybe get to that level. And so that's the struggle I think that a lot of coaches have now. I think that's part of the reason why you see coaches stepping down. They can talk about family, and yes, I'm sure that's a big part of their decision. But I think that's part of what is souring coaches on coaching at any level, and that is the sense of entitlement. The sense of entitlement that parents think their kids should have. My kid played on a traveling team. So what? You paid to play. They'll take your money. Well, he's good enough to be on a traveling team. Why isn't he good enough to play varsity? Well, your kid really wasn't good enough to be on a traveling team, but they took your $2,000. So your check... They cashed it. They're happy to take your money and lie to you. They won't be straight with you. Oh, yeah, I think he'd be great. He can play, you bet. Yeah. You got to know who's shooting you straight and who's full of crap. And the coaches that shoot you straight, I think, are the ones that are bound to be way more successful. Are there growing pains with shooting people straight? Sure there are. But I think if people would really stop and think about it, they would have a greater appreciation for those people that do shoot them straight. Maybe they might like it initially, but if they could let it soak in, I think they would. And I think many coaches that indeed do that are those that tend to be the better ones. Just my two cents.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that the goal of if I was a coach, would be shoot you straight, right? Like, but the one thing I do like is, like, when I hear somebody say, like, I didn't necessarily like this coach, but I respected him and what he was trying to do and what he was building and what he did to make us better. Now, you get a lot of that, right?
Sure.
Like, you talked about the people that said, you know, I didn't really know or appreciate it while I was going through it, but I understand now what he was trying to do or what she was trying to do with me. And so I think that's, you know, there's a line in actually Scream 2 that says, check your conscience at the door. We're not here to be loved. And so there's some coaches that are like that, right? We're not here to be loved. We're here to teach your kid and coach your kid and be honest with your kid. And I think that the best coaches that I have had, the best coach I had was always honest with me. He never led me astray as to why I was or was not getting time on the court in basketball. He never told me anything that I didn't need to hear. And so those are the coaches that are the best, I think, are the ones that no matter what are going to be shooting you straight and in it for the best interest of you and getting you to improve and be better. And sure, that's going to benefit them because they're going to win if you improve and get better. That's also why they're going to have that kind of success. And they're not going to sit here and think that they did everything on their own either.
Mm-hmm.
And but they are going to let you know, hey, we're here to teach you and we're here to show you the right way to do things. We're not here to be loved by every single person on this team because it's not possible. It's human nature. It's not going to happen. And so for me, I want a coach that will always, if they pull me aside, tell me what I need to fix. I don't want a coach that's, you know, not hands-on and expects you to figure that out for yourself, because there are some like that too. Probably don't last as long as the ones that do tell you what you need to be doing and take you to the side and do that individually. And so, yeah, there's never going to be any coach that satisfies everybody. But you got to go out there and do the things that you feel are right. And in the end, if somebody doesn't like that, then I guess you're in a spot where Emporia Girls Basketball is right now.
Yeah. All right. Travis Kelce has a new job. He's leaving the Chiefs. How could he possibly? Let me finish. Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce set to host a new show called Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? I just thought of another one. Are You Smarter Than a Coach? And I'd love to get parents on there that aren't. That'd be a funny show. Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? The 20-episode project will be a spinoff of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Travis Kelce said, and I quote, I grew up loving game shows, and I'm excited to be following in the footsteps of so many TV icons by hosting my very first one with Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? The original show is a great success, so to be bringing a new format with everyone's favorite celebrities to the screen will definitely be entertaining. I'm just happy to be on the hosting side of the equation here and excited to see how these famous faces keep up. The show, which will stream on Amazon Prime Video, will feature a contestant trying to win a $100,000 prize by answering 11 questions on a range of subjects pulled from an elementary school curriculum. There will be a classroom full of celebrities who can help the contestant, but towards the end of the game, only one of them will be able to help answer the final question, which will come from a sixth grade curriculum. Let me just state this. First of all, I am not a celebrity, all right? Never pretend to be one. Some people may say, well, you're on the radio, so you're a celebrity. Okay, fine. Local celebrity? That's a real big stretch. But I'm not a celebrity. But if I were, there's no way in hell I'm going on the show. Because I don't want to expose myself to show how dumb I really am. I do not want to expose myself to not know something my fourth grader already knows.
Yeah.
And I want to say this. I'm going to prop up my kids for a moment. God bless them for being good students, because I have not had to help with homework hardly ever in my entire life. Now, maybe my wife has some, but not a lot. Been very fortunate that my oldest has been able to do his stuff and ask questions of the teachers. And maybe my oldest is just smart enough to know that his parents aren't bright enough to figure it out anyway, so he doesn't waste time asking us to help him. Maybe that's why it works so well. I do not know. My youngest does very well in school, and he's very sharp. And we haven't had to help him too much with anything. And so I'd be willing to bet that they would do way better on this show than I would. Way better.
Yeah.
And one of my kids is fourth grade, and we're talking questions from a sixth grade curriculum. So I will say I'm looking forward to a whole bunch of celebrities that make themselves look stupid.
Yeah.
So that's part of the draw to watching the show on Amazon Prime Video. And I already have a subscription, so I can tune in. Kelsey, I'm sure, will do a great job hosting. I have no doubt about that. I want to see celebrities that I don't like look stupid.
Yeah.
So that's the draw for me.
The fun thing about all, like, whether it's are you smarter than a fifth grader or now are you smarter than a celebrity is, like, you know all that stuff, but the older you get, the further
you
away you
it.
Get from when you learned it, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I know. And then when they say it, it's like, well, duh, I knew that. But then it's just not there anymore because you're getting older, right?
Exactly.
It's like I've kicked out how much information to know, you know, who won the Super Bowl in 1995? You know, like just stuff like that, right? Like, it's just like, okay, well, I don't remember that, but I remember this. And it means absolutely nothing, most of the stuff that I have banked, right? And the stuff that actually means something that might be able to help me is long gone.
I have had so many people tell me over the years, I'm sure you get the same thing, and that is, how do you know all these stats? How do you know all these players' names? How do you pronounce them? How do you remember something? You regurgitate, you say the stuff, and there's no way that you have it all written down. How do you remember these things? How do you do that stuff? And I said, it's really, really, really simple. I said, I kick out the really unimportant stuff, like my anniversary, my kids' birthdays, and all this other stuff I really should know, for stuff that's really important that I need to know, and that is, who is the backup point guard? Who's the backup center on the football team?
Yeah.
Who's the back row spiker? Those are the things I know. Ask me what year I was married, and it will take me a while, and there'd be dead silence on the air while I tried to think about that. Ask that of me on Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? When you say, your anniversary date is what? I will lose. Because right now as we speak, I'm trying to figure it out.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.